There's a couple of little points I want to make arising from some work David Garfinkel and I did. So we are trying to push this idea that perhaps the most important feature of a good coordinate condition is that it captures killing vectors. So if something is approximately stationary, then everything should be approximately time independent. So the idea is that if there's a killing vector x, then d by dt, our time vector, should be equal to x. And if one plugs that into the killing equation, one gets the result that looks almost trivial, namely that the time derivative, in the sense of the lead derivative, along this vector of the extrinsic curvature of the free metric, the Laplacian shift is zero. Now, we take the attitude that these are sort of trivial equations because they tell us what you want to achieve, aren't, because we can plug them into the ADM equations. And so we consider these equations as equations for the Laplacian shift for given k and h. And then it's interesting that the choice or sort of classification of possible symmetry secant coordinates is to choose 3 plus 1 coefficients out of the 6 plus 6 coefficients that are these equations here. And of course, these need not just be linear combinations, one could take derivatives as well. So it's a sort of possible taxonomy. Yes. Yes, that's right. And yes, but they need to be time-like. I mean, that's they could go space-like inside the black hole, for example. That wouldn't bother us. You just have to use appropriate finite differencing scheme. Okay, so here are some results. First of all, some examples for this that work in 3D. There are lots more examples in 1D that are specific to 1D. So if one takes HAB dot, the free time derivative of the free metric, and makes a vector out of it by taking the divergence, that's a free vector, obviously, that's minimal strain shift, which of course has been known for a long time. If one takes the time derivative of K and makes a trace with H and then adds the time derivative of H, taking the trace with K, that actually gives us K dot, and of course that's well known. The point is that this is actually belongs to our class, even if K is not zero, and if the spatial derivative of K is not zero either. So this would work for an arbitrary initial slice. We just want K to be independent of time along a line of constant coordinate, constant spatial coordinates. And then if one constructs HAB dot with KAB, sort of the opposite thing from this one here, one gets the minimal strain lapse that has been suggested by Brady, Craig, and Fawn. So number one and two are the sort of the generalization of the Smajorg min-max gauge, but quite an important generalization. And one and three would be the Brady, Craig, and Fawn gauge. And what we've done is numerically we've run some 1D tests on these coordinate conditions, which would work in 3D. And we've looked at a Schwarzschild black hole where we excise the interior of the black hole. We've looked at Schwarzschild filled in density star, so the interior Schwarzschild metric. We've looked at the sitter, which of course is can be written as a static space-time. And we've also looked at conformal killing vectors, which are physically totally different but mathematically very related. And so we have looked at the critical fluid collapse, which has a conformal killing vector. We have looked at the critical scalar field collapse, which does not have a killing vector at all, but is periodic in a conformal time direction. And that would be a nice analog of, say, an elliptic in spiral. An elliptic in spiral, if you use appropriate coordinates, would still not be not time independent, but it would be periodic, obviously. As you know, the things go in and out in the co-rotating coordinates. So could one find that and make things periodic? And then we looked at the Robert spacetime, which is another self-similar scalar field spacetime, which has a singularity, which we again excised. We used the slice evolution scheme that I mentioned earlier. We just programmed these spacetimes and evolved the slice through it.
On
a computer, yes. These are numerical tests. So for the ones where an exact killing vector exists, these sort of tests of the numerical, if this can be made to work numerically. And in the case where we don't have an exact killing vector, but just something that's sort of periodic around the killing vector, it's actually interesting to see what happens. And what we found is that the generalized Smajorg scheme works quite well for all these spacetimes. And in fact, for the one that has a sort of periodicity, actually captures a periodicity. So that's totally, I don't see why that should be true, but it is true. It was quite nice. That's quite hopeful for the elliptic in spiral case. And the BCT gauge, sort of in our numerics, which is a big caveat, fails to be stable. So the elliptic solve, which in this case is just an ODE solve with boundary conditions, doesn't seem to work very well. And it fails either at the excision boundary if the excise or the stellar surface if we have a star. So it's a weak indication that it may not be as robust for numerical purposes. Well, we can't get the elliptic solve to work. The sort of numerical error sort of breaks the thing down, but that doesn't happen here. So that's more a statement about our numerical abilities than about the scheme, but it may weakly reflect on the scheme as well. Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.